The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Luke 9, 51 to 62. Listen to the word of the Lord. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven to consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. One of the most famous fables told by Edwin Freeman is the bridge. It's about a man who tried to find the path to success or to find the purpose of life. After many years of aimless meandering in life, he finally found the meaning of life and the path to success. Realizing life is short, he devoted his entire focus and time and energy on the journey to fulfill his life purpose. One day, as he was crossing a bridge, he saw a man of equal stature walking toward him from the other side of the bridge. As he came near, he noticed that he had a rope around his waist. When they met at the middle of the bridge, the man gave him one end of the rope and asked him to hold it, politely saying that, "Please hold this end." He took the rope without knowing what it means, but suddenly the man with the rope jumped down the bridge. He quickly pulled his end of the rope to bring him back, but the weight of the other man being about the same as him, he was not able to pull him up. He asked the man, "Why did you jump down? I can't pull you up. You have to climb up by yourself. I will hold the rope up here for you." The guy replied, "If I fall, it's your fault. You better secure the rope by tying the rope around your waist so that I won't fall." So he did as the other guy requested and then yelled, "I have secured the rope around my waist. You can climb up now." The other man said, "If I fall and die, it would be your fault. But you must climb up. I can't hang in there for long. I'm on a journey. I have my life goal to fulfill. I must continue before it's too late." He pleaded him to climb up, but the other man replied, "Make sure your end of the rope is secure. If I die, it's your fault." So the guy just stayed dangling there without doing anything. "If you don't climb up, I have no choice but release the rope," the man warned him. The other man repeated, "If I die, it's your fault." "I don't want you to die. I'm here to help you until you climb up. You know, the only way to save you is that you climb up." But hurry up, if you don't climb up, I have to let you go, shouted to him. Now, with a very serious tone, the other man refused to help himself and shouted back, if I die, it's your fault. It went on for hours. The man couldn't find any other help around him. And he knew if he didn't continue this journey, he would be late. So he shouted for the last time, I will give you 3 minutes. If you don't start climbing up, I have to let you go. So 3 minutes went by, but the other guy didn't take any action. The man untied the rope from his waist and released it. Then he continued his journey without looking back. That's the end of the story. So how do you understand this story? Do you think this man is cruel to let go of the other man? Do you think it's against the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself? How do you understand this allegory? The fact is, we all encounter people in our life just like the man with the rope. The rope represents an emotional rope. They will give you the rope and get you emotionally tangled with them. They keep you stuck on your journey, you know, to fulfill God's will. They wouldn't blame you if you try to stop engaging with them. How many people in your life have given you a rope? There are people like this that don't have anything better to do but to get you stuck with them. You think you're being kind to help them out and help them recover, but they know exactly how to abuse your kindness to keep you stuck. So if you have the consciousness, the wisdom to see there's a choice, it is important to know that when to let go of the rope or to get stuck forever and to lose the chance to fulfill your divine calling. Jesus had a similar situation in the scripture lesson that we read today in Luke 9, 51 to 62. It started this way. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Notice it repeatedly mentioned his face and that his face was set toward Jerusalem. Jesus had a goal and a divine purpose to fulfill. His face is set toward that goal. Metaphorically, it means that his mind is focused on fulfilling his divine calling. The Samaritans gave him an emotional rope at this moment, implying that if you want to stay at our village, you must do what we tell you to do instead of what God tells you to do. One way or another, they are trying to get emotionally tangled with Jesus. Jesus didn't take the rope, but the disciples did. The Bible says, when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. There's a lot of motion here. Does this passage sort of remind us of what happened just past week, where one of our drones was shot down by Iran, and some of our leaders wanted to command fire to come down from heaven to consume them? It's a good thing that our president decided not to engage in such an emotional entanglement with Iran. Otherwise, the result could be another several decades of warfare. At personal level, How many times have you reacted to those who gave you the rope and got you entangled? Jesus rebuked the disciples for doing that, for thinking about retaliation, for holding onto their rope, get totally emotionally tangled with the Samaritans. And he just continued on his journey because he has a bigger fish to fry. If you want to please God and cultivate a fruitful life and bear fruits with your life, you have to drop the rope of the aimless people, you know, the aimless people that gave you, or you will get stuck on the way. People without divine calls are miserable, and as we all know, that misery loves company. It's one thing to be kind to them, but it's another thing to get stuck yourself with them. The cost of following Christ is that you might end up displeasing people on your journey to fulfill God's will. What it says is that if you are a people pleaser, you are not worthy of following Christ. Luke uses three more examples to talk about the cost of discipleship. The first one is we have to sacrifice our stability. So Luke basically gives us three very costly sacrifices if we want to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The entire passage shows that Jesus is always on the move. If one village rejected him, he moves on to the other village. He didn't stop there and get entangled with them or argue with them. The fact that he's always on the move means that there's no stability. Now, if you want stability and comfort, you might not find it fun to follow him. He said, foxes have holes and birds on the air. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What it means is that even animals have a place of security and stability. Even birds have nests to rest. But Jesus lives a life of homelessness. Can we handle it? Many people don't like change, especially when there's progress, there's always change. But they want to hold on to the old traditions because they give them stability. That's a huge contrast with the life of Jesus, who sacrificed stability to fulfill his divine purpose. He had a very stable home up there in heaven. He didn't have to come down, but he did. To be his followers, he asked us to sacrifice our stability. The second sacrifice is pretty painful. Sacrifice my family. Of course, in a certain way. He says to another, he said, follow me. But he says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. This teaching is particularly hard for the Chinese because filial piety is one of the most important part of the culture. It's the son's responsibility to bury his father. It's unthinkable for Jesus to say these harsh words. Let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus never minced words. Yes, some Christians today want only touchy-feely or fuzzy-wuzzy language. The truth is, a kind word of lie can be more damaging than a harsh word of truth, especially for those who need some tough love to wake up. However, this is not the first time Jesus required the sacrifice of family responsibilities in order to follow him. He said in Matthew 10:37, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." These are the hardest sayings of Jesus Christ. Yes, these are very costly sacrifices. Stability and family. What's next? Sacrifice my memory. Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Even though saying farewell to your family sounds like a reasonable request, but there's some implication that can only be understood by Jesus' response. Based on Jesus' response, he expects the sacrifice of the good old days, beautiful memories. When the hand is on the plow, you are forming new memories, even more beautiful memories with Jesus Christ, the precious and exciting memory of following Christ. So looking backward is clinging to the past. One of the church consultants once said, the most fatal word in a church is, "We have always done it this way." Holding on to tradition is a form of idolatry. I'm sure you remember the story of Lot's wife, who turned into a pillar of salt for looking back. And Paul said, "Beloved, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." So, in summary, stability, family, and memory are all important for us to treasure, as long as they don't become our idols. So how do they become idols based on this passage when they become more important than fulfilling our divine calling, which Jesus said, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God"? So let us think about the cost of discipleship this week, the sacrifice of stability, family, and memory. May God bless all of you. Amen.